afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
There.
Oh, there you
are. I was in like a very small little tunnel there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm back.
There you are. I couldn't see you.
Nice. Who's our sponsor this hour? Weisenheimer Bill.
Our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local Kubota dealer. Team Power is located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, and they do everything tractors and mowers, and right now is a great time to get your machines in there, get them tuned up and ready for spring. You can also reach them on the web at readingtractors.com or call them at 226-9226.
Ta-da! And if you would like to support the show with your business or personally or big or little, however you'd like to do it, please go to wethepeopleradio.us. You can find all of our information on there, emails, phone numbers, sponsorship information, different ways you can go about doing that, and we would love to have you on board. We air out of a studio in Redding, California, far northern California, that has now changed the station thing. It's now 96.5 FM. 0.5 actually counts. You can't round up to like 97 or whatever.
No.
And used to only be 1460 AM. Oh, yeah, it's over there, too. It's actually in more places than I just didn't want to get it wrong since it's kind of new and I suck
well,
at that.
Well, it's nice that we're on FM
I think
now.
Bill be in charge of that. He's got
a lot more reach.
So there's that. WeThePeopleRadio.us always hosts the archives also, and those are commercial-free after Sunday afternoons, and sometimes we do replay them, but you can listen to them anytime, free of charge. And every show we do has a webpage with it, so all the information we reference and different links, and we try to put like the articles, any of the things that we talk about, we try to put on there so that you can go back and review those, because oftentimes there's a lot of information. Today is one of those days. There is a boatload of information. So we'll be speaking with the National Security Advisor from Security Solutions Technology. I tried to throw in more nationalness. And Security Solutions Technology is a veteran-owned company that provides federal government consulting, IT professional services, security assessments, cybersecurity, big deal these days, geospatial program and lifecycle management, change management, logistics, and financial consulting. So pretty much they do all sorts of stuff with national security. So let's see. We were going to have Chuck Floyd on here, but he is jammed today. So,
we're going to talk about.
So Bruce is going to be two people.
Yeah, how our national security has been compromised,
and absolutely.
It truly has been compromised.
And so, there are people who believe that right off the bat, and there are other people, oh, that's just so silly. I hope you will go on the website and read the information that's on there. So. Definitely don't take my word for it. Don't take Bill's word for it. You should take Bruce's word for it. But go on there and look at all the information they have provided. And just for frame of reference, it's March 31st, 2019 when we're airing this the first time. So if this airs at a subsequent date, there may be some slightly different political things happening. You never know. And then in the month of March, we're going to pre-record a few things you have to look forward to. I think you'll really like them. And we're working on putting a show together with Patrick Moore, who was the founder of Greenpeace, and then left Greenpeace in the dirt because they got way too crazy. So we have some fun things in the hopper for the future. But today's article that Bruce has supplied us with is National Security Compromised. And it's about U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, the FISA Court, and the DOJ Special Counsel's Office Analysis and Review. So there is a we're just going to follow along. Bruce is the one who prepared most of this, so we're just going to let him take us where he'd like to go. Bruce?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chuck couldn't come on. We actually have enough for two-hour programs, as you can see. These are very grave national security matters. It's been called a hoax. That is true. But behind the hoax are the grave national security matters and how this has been predicated.
Well, yeah, beyond the whole Russia thing.
Yeah. What we're looking at is the crucial support system for the President of the United States been compromised. Everything he does everything his White House staff did had come under the scope of a special counsel's office investigative process. Notice I'm talking slow because I want the American people to understand and the people in Europe where this has gone and how extensive it's been, to what extent it needs to be what we call in the investigative process discovery. There are numerous avenues to take here. If we look at what it was called, it's called Operation Crossfire Hurricane, or some people call it Spygate. That is a grave national security matter that needs to be closely looked into, not only forensically in terms of how they used it cybersecurity-wise with, I'll call it 5E and 14Is and what was made available to them through the FISA court, but it was the FISA court itself and what degree they used the warrant. So let's get back into the first part of what we're talking about. They purposely abused and manipulated the FISA Court Espionage Act. That is very excessive use of investigating somebody unless they are a spy. So being a spy, this is, of course, appropriate and fittingly done. But given the course of events and how the courts were used by the court and warrants, this is unprecedented. So there's where the abuse lies. There's where it's purposely abused and manipulated.
Well, is this, Bruce, excuse me, is this where they determine that this person is a spy, or they already know they're a spy, and so they can use this avenue?
They are making conjectures based on evidence that was not predicated on anything substantial. It was unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take it from that perspective, that's why people are calling it a hoax and all the illusional delusions and stuff like that. But those things are more made for media. You know, it's an attention grabber, but doesn't give you the basic understanding of how deep this went into the presidency of the United States, the White House, and his ability to execute his policy and programs. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
It's far-reaching and very disturbing. And people who are involved in this, that's what we're talking about, it's the grave national security matters, have to be looked at in such a fine scope way, breadth and depth, that everybody needs to be called into a court system, and however, you know, Attorney General Barr would like to look at this, Lindsey Graham had said, yes, let's take a look at it, but there's the technical side of how it was adapted and used. That far exceeds anything people could imagine that could have been done to the President of the United States and the White House itself, the physical body of the White House, how they were spied upon.
Right.
So we talk about that a little later.
And just a normal, everyday citizen should be concerned about this because they can do the same thing to you.
No, they're doing it to people right now.
Yeah.
That's the ability that they were given.
Yeah, so if they decide they disagree, like in this particular case, disagree with your politics, they can use the secret court, which is secret for a reason. But by manipulating that secrecy, they can go after people without their knowledge.
Yep. Well, that's what's supposed to happen with the CIA operating outside the United States.
Right.
But once it's operated inside the United States, then we have another case. So that has to go through a FISA court with the FBI and getting a warrant. But there's another aspect to it, that the NSA records everything. So if that is compromised and used not only in the FISA court but through another vehicle, then you have this as a huge encroachment on, well, you're talking about individual privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a matter that far exceeds what has been done to the President of the United States.
Sure.
Sure, and anybody who helped him in the campaign and that sort of thing. They just really targeted people. We've got to take a really quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Bruce Moran, when we return. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Those things are based on that, but they really sound evil. It's probably Brandon or Clapper.
Yeah.
They were performing with Joan Jett.
That's what it was.
Back in the day.
So Bruce, we were talking about the, I guess you could call it overreach of these.
Well, it's not only overreach, but they entrap and use treacherous means to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes beyond the scope.
Right.
See, overreach is finding out things. Then you entrap the people and you use treacherous means to get them to turn. That's what you do with spies. So they're calling people spies that weren't. We don't know how extensive this was done with the unmasking. There was a whole slew of unmasking done under Samantha Powers.
And so for people who don't know what that means?
You're given the ability to go in and look into people's backgrounds. And it's done to... Literally, if it was done at the State Department, you might think it's used for foreign affairs. But if they're unmasking and they're using it for domestic, then you're wondering what the heck is going on here. So that's what I'm saying. It's a little more complicated in a way where we have to go in and find out, because Samantha Power said she didn't sign on to some of this, and her name was on it.
Right.
So we have a huge problem in national security right there, just in unmasking. And I know it's been talked about on Hannity and Tucker Carlson. Lou Dobbs does a good job, too. But the important part here, and the critical part here, and the essential part here, is why was this done in the first place? And what was Operation Crossfire Hurricane doing in operation? So let's look at Operation Crossfire. What does that mean? You use any means necessary to get them in a crossfire.
Okay.
Okay, that's the FISA warrant number one. Okay, it's not FISA warrant number seven. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can go by any means necessary. What's hurricane?
Yeah, well, I'm assuming it's a whole bunch of crossfires.
Okay, we have our intelligence group. We have our teams that work with the White House. And then we have our SEAL units. They go into the field. And they have all the CENTCOM at their disposal to watch where they're going, how they're doing it. Then they have Global Hawk overriding them. Then they have cruise missiles. Then they have the nuclear submarines for extraction. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The way they're watching over the White House in that great detail, and that's why you can call it Spygate. But it's more than that, because it goes into the technical applications and how that was used. Vault 7 of the CIA might have been used to go in and to tap a lot of things in there, but that comes up later in number 7 we're going to talk about. But I'm trying to talk at the degree and the breadth and depth of how this was done to entrap a president of the United States and his staff and his National Security Council. Now, if you just look at the National Security Council, it was coming on board, they disrupted it right at the beginning. Mike Flynn, it was a collaborative effort to get Mike Flynn out of there. He's only in office for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And how many National Security staff were on board at the time? The president had to make some huge decisions. And right now, there's some 400 people, I believe, that are working for the National Security staff at the White House. It's also called old executive building. But in total, you've probably got 1,200 people in all the different capacities working at the White House, so in an old executive office building.
And the reason they needed Mike Flynn out of there was so they could continue to misdirect and
Of course.
You know,
but the reason they wanted Mike Flynn out was to weaken the presidency of the United States at the onslaught.
Mm-hmm.
It was a collaborated effort. So this in and of itself is highly a great matter of national security.
Well, your list is really good, too,
wait till we get down there. Yeah, people understand it even more so as we...
Right, but I mean, on your second bullet point, I think it's important to... Because so much has happened since the beginning of the Trump presidency, but you have a good list here of the things that were happening at that time. So
that's right.
While he's getting in office...
The Califat State was in full bloom.
Yeah.
It run through Mosul, or down Ramadi, Fallujah. You know, I worked on this, on the Christian genocide with Ambassador Haley. So, and we were involved in other things on the ground there, too. But it's Chuck and I and several other members I won't mention because that's a different disclosure thing. So,
but you had a lot of stuff going on at that time.
At the Afghanistan Stability Operations.
Yep.
And Mike Flynn was head of that, and he drew up plans. You can look it up on the web. Mike Flynn drew up a whole protocol to have stability operations in place. So taking him out, he absolutely knew Syria, Iraq. You know, I mean, you're talking about a high-end military official and taking him right out of the program and not having all your national security people in place. You're still interviewing them.
Yeah,
that's
so
what I'm talking about.
So you're basically crippled coming out of the gate. You don't have the
They crippled the president of the United States coming out of the gate.
Right.
Beautiful description.
So that was the first thing they did.
Well, that was more than that because there were a ton of leaks coming out at the time too. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The president couldn't understand how his meetings were being leaked to the press. And who were leftovers from previous administration were providing that. Or how are they being tapped, or who's giving up the information? It's a highly complex web. I can draw five webs here, you know, and how this takes place. We want to keep it simple right now, and then when Chuck comes out, we can do another two-hour segment and talk about that part of it. Excuse me.
Well, I think you had mentioned, and part of the stuff I was reading here was they actually wiretapped the White House.
Yeah, that's something that needs to be looked at by Attorney General Barr.
Mm-hmm.
But you're getting way ahead of us because I want to go slow.
Okay.
Because it's very complex. And that's what the media doesn't want you to know, how extensive this was, how deep it was, and how it hampered and still hampers the President of the United States. That's what my concern is right now. He's still being hampered. And they're calling it the deep state or the swamp. You know, those are cute terms, but there's a lot of intricate matters that are being handled in that fashion that are stopping the national security from fully being implemented on all matters of policy and programs in the United States of America from the executive branch into departments of agencies. That's heavy duty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So if we can go on to number three, and that's what Aaron was talking about. That's the unmasking part, but it's insidious the way this was done and how it was hidden. So if you want to call it Operation Crossfire Hurricane, that's fine. If you want to call it Spygate, that's fine. But this was a deep... throwing out all national security protocols and turning it upside down on its face and using it against the President of the United States and his staff and people at the White House.
Because in real life, if they wanted to listen to phone calls or they were following things, they wouldn't necessarily know who the people were. Is that the deal? And then the unmasking tells them who they're listening to? Or is unmasking making them public?
No, it's still within the intelligence agency, but they're trying to provide information to further investigate. You see what I mean?
Right.
But if it's used for political purposes, then they're using it for taking people out.
Yeah,
that's a whole different matter.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here. Maybe there were 200 of those we want to have a look at. We don't know yours truly or, you know, our friends or, you know, there's probably 500 people that we know of that could have been part of that whole process. You know,
is that necessarily...
People who applied for the transition team, people on a transition team, people on a political campaign, that's what we want to know.
Right. And is that necessarily illegal to use?
Of course.
Yeah.
You don't even have to ask me the question. That's what we've been talking about. It's a national security matter, deep, grave problem.
I think we've heard, and I guess the reason I'm kind of going over this a couple of times is because we've heard this stuff so much, it sort of sounds passé. I mean, the danger is we kind of go, oh, yeah, they did that, but, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're calling it a hoax, but it's more than a hoax.
Yeah, they've done it. This has been going on for,
you know,
it's been going on for 2 years, and still nothing's being done about it. So people, I think, are getting a little bit.
Lindsey Graham wants to take that up. Okay, but A.G. Barr has a larger task before him to review this, and I hope they take a look at what we wrote and go into greater detail of finding out what, if you want to call it, Operation Crossfire Hurricane or Spygate, whatever you want to call it. You're looking at a deep national security concern and problem that exists today and needs to be corrected and addressed properly. That's where we're headed. We don't want to go anywhere and say, go on to the next election, we'll elect all Republicans or, you know, get these people out and we'll put people in who'll do the right thing. That's not what exists. The whole bureaucratic system in government, the executive branch, has been change to facilitate what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about making sure people are called on the rug or replaced in that capacity?
Well,
just
I think the State Department
has some 68,000. Defense Department, you know, you're talking 2 million. So
dang,
what we're talking about, and up at the Pentagon, we're talking about there's a whole host of ways you have to go by a protocol and find out how, when, to what extent this existed. Now, this can never, ever happen again. Never, ever happen again. We're being spied on by our allies, Christopher Steele. I mean, what is that? I don't want to go into that because I talked about that before, and I was very ticked off about that at that point in time.
The American people have been deceived. I just think that on the information that's out there, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who was behind it and what they did. If they don't start handing down some indictments on some of this stuff, it will happen again. There's nothing in place to keep this from happening
again. It's happening right now, Bill.
Yeah.
They're doing it right now. That's what I'm saying. The president is up against it.
Right.
That's the misconception. Oh, we won a victory lap.
Right, no.
No.
No, we haven't
won anything.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hold on, boys. Come right back.
All right.
Gonna take a quick break. Our guest is Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technologies. We are discussing the national security compromise that really the media isn't always going deeply into. You've got a ton of information at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Maybe it's a bad, bad thing. Maybe it's a bad, bad thing. Maybe it's a bad, bad thing. Maybe it's a bad, bad thing.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
We're bringing them down. That's the plan. That's the goal. Isn't that the goal?
Bill can read that one piece we wrote there, but Okay, let me give you an example of the victory lap we're doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The president's doing a victory lap. There's a big crowd all around him in the stadium, but he's doing it in an armored vehicle, and he's being shot at from all directions. That's Operation Crossfire Hurricane going on. Still, it's just not the investigation is over. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I guess what I'm not getting is we know these people were involved. We know what
there's more than these people. That's what I'm saying.
But
it's not these people. There's a whole slew of people.
Well, sure.
This
group. And we know a lot of the players. There's probably a bunch we don't know. But the ones that we do know, why are they still in office? Why are they still there?
Been let go. I mean, certain of them have been let go. So, but. The point I'm making is that's the questions that are always asked on Fox and other stations. They want to present their point of view, and the other station wants to present their point of view. That's not my point of view.
Okay.
This thing is going on right now. The players are deeply embedded. Those are some surface players that were heads of departments and agencies. Some of them haven't been looked at or brought into a hearing in the Senate or the House or through a special counsel. You have to look at the larger play, why national security has been damaged and how the presidency has been compromised. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different focus. That's a deeper focus. Then you got to stop it from happening.
Right.
And you got to call people on the rug. Okay. I think what I call people on the rug is executive orders have to be written. Congress has to change some of its scope. That's the House and the Senate. A lot of fallacious information was being said. Elected officials were saying erroneous things that damaged national security.
Well, they were literally leaking.
True. That is also true. They're not only leaking, but they're saying things in the media.
Yeah, yeah. You had old pencil neck who was sitting in the meetings looking at all the secret stuff and then just talking about it.
It's not Russian collusion. That's what people are mistaking. It's national security that's being compromised.
Right. And they've
people need to get that straight in their heads.
Well, they've
that's why I am trying to be emphatic about it, because everybody is being dissuaded from looking at it from this point of view. If you talk to somebody from Gina Haspel's organization, you know, the CIA, they know it went down, but that's a whole different avenue, you know, because they know it's been compromised. They know what people violate the CIA charter. See what I'm talking about?
Right.
But that has to be brought front and forward to a attorney general, now we have Barr, that will take a look at this on a larger scope, because this is the history of the United States that's been compromised here. That's what the founding fathers had embedded into the Constitution, the separation of state, you know, church and state, the separation of the three branches of government. You know, so you have this being totally compromised. That's the national security greater concern. It's happening in Europe, too. You know, you see them having problems with Brexit, you know, in England and in France. So this is not just indicative of what's going on in the United States, but in the United States you see this larger picture, this huge attack on the Constitution, a huge attack on the Declaration of Independence. These are our freedoms, our rights, and our liberties that were violated of everybody, and the president represents us all. That's what I'm saying. And everybody in the White House.
Right.
If certain of them in the White House were part of Operation Crossfire Hurricane, then that's what Bill's talking about. But the larger concern is, how is a president going to be effective and run the government given these larger constraints?
Well, I guess I'm looking at this has been going on for 2 years. They've pretty much figured out what's going on. Not everybody and everything, but they know what's going on.
We don't know what's going on until we bring it to a court and people are found guilty.
Right, right.
And there's a lot. They had 1,000 subpoenas.
And so we've got
I don't know how many subpoenas they have to issue here. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
I don't know. It could be... I don't want to go into that because that's a different subject matter. And that's... But what we're trying, what I'm trying to convey, Bill and Aaron, is that this matter has to come full-fledged forward so the American people know how serious this was and how important it is to correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for, you know, our brothers and sisters in England. You know, they have that Brexit problem in France. So those are smaller because ours included the President of the United States. And the whole national security matter was turned upside down and backwards. So let's go a little bit more forward.
I think we're down to number four.
Don't skip Goebbels, though. That's such a good quote.
This is such a terrible thing to talk about for me because I've been through it with all the different people I know, different agencies and departments, and I hear all the pushbacks going. It's just terrible. Terrible beyond compared to the American people can never realize. That's what I'm trying to talk about. We know exactly how bad it is. And it's just not a hoax. It's the president's policy and programs. It's the way they're being shoved aside. That's what I'm talking about.
And so you have a section here where you talk about you had a quote there from Goebbels on propaganda and how propaganda works. And it says,
would
if you
like to read that, please?
Yeah. It says, if you tell a lie big enough in regards to, say, Russian collusion and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. A lie can be maintained only for such a time as the state, special counsel's office, ongoing investigation, can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. And I mean, that says a lot right there. And that's exactly what they've done over the past 2 years. And now we have to expose that so that people do understand the implications of what they've done.
But then the next sentence, it thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. And so I think the great example that you listed is keep the special counsel's office investigation long and enduring. So over 2 years. So they use all of their power to repress dissent because the truth, like the actual findings of the Mueller report, is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. So as long
it's
as they
so
can
profound.
Keep...
It really is. It's
simple.
It's exactly what we're looking at.
Yeah. You make the web deep enough. That's the thing. You have to have a lot of players. You have to have a lot of moving parts. You have to be doing tricky, complicated things people don't know about, FISA courts and unmasking and all that. And eventually people kind of go, I don't know what they're talking about. They're not doing it to me, so how bad could it be?
Yeah, but then you still have people like Schiff who are still out there beating the drum.
Pencil neck?
Collusion. Yeah. Where it's just propagating the lie.
But here we go, and we're talking about grave national security matters, and he had promulgated that kind of material as a elected official, and that's compromising national security when he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's looking at it from that point of view.
Right.
Well, he's sitting in the meetings where the actual evidence is being given, so he gets to see things we don't have access to, and he comes out and says, oh yeah, these guys did it. They did all sorts of bad things. I just saw it. I saw it all. And it turns out he really didn't see it all, but makes it very hard for the White House or anybody else to refute other than to say, you know, no, he didn't. It turns into second grade.
What we're saying is everything was falsely premised accusations and gross assumptions. And that was being fed constantly for 2.5 years.
Well, it's fascinating because
how can an elected official support that? That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Adam Schiff, but, you know, in particular, you know, but it is.
It is.
How?
He's just not the only one.
How in their right mind do they want to go there and unless they're involved in a larger Operation Crossfire narrative, you know, hurricane narrative.
Well, geez, Bruce, I drove a couple hundred miles yesterday, and I'm listening to progressive radio because I like to torture myself. And this comedy channel just isn't as funny, so I listen to those guys. But they kept bringing it up that Trump said these things right out in the open, and they always used the same example, was when he said, gee, maybe we should get the – he was making a joke. Maybe we should get the Russians to give us Hillary's emails. And they used
that. That's a very good point here.
But they used that as proof.
Because we're looking at the Russians for collusion, how come we're not using all that – all those resources at the special counsel's office, investigative staff, and at the White House to look at other matters of national security import. We are so distracted in doing that. It's constantly in the media that we're not serving the national security interest of the United States of America.
Right, but I mean,
talking about
even
that's the damage that was done.
Even to go back to the Goebbels thing, though, with that, they use that as an example of the collusion. Look,
that's right.
He even said that. He said we should get the Russians to do that. It's like, oh my God, what are you, an only child? It's a joke. Hello.
And let me flip the card on the other side. They say the Russians are involved with interfering with the elections. The Russians forever have been interfering with the elections in the United States.
And we do it, too.
In Europe. That's why there's a wall of Berlin there. You know, they're interfering everywhere all the time. If you want to call it interference, that's what they do. They're a country that wants to expand their power and reach.
Mm-hmm.
And China has done it even more. So if you're talking about China, then you look at Russia in comparison. China is all over. Much more than Russia is.
Yeah, they've
now,
got
they just sent 100
resources.
Advisors to Venezuela. That's what the Russians did.
Right.
So we can talk about that in another show.
All right.
I'm saying
the reach of
Russia is different than the reach of China.
All right. We've got to take a quick little break here. Sorry I kept on the only children out there. Just, you know, when you come from a big family, you learn how to joke around. So I always assume you must have grown up in a vacuum. But you could be humorless and not be able to take a joke and come from a big family. So there you go. Everybody under the bus. We'll be right back. Sing it, Johnny Rivers. What a guy. All right, Bruce, we're going to finish, let's see. I guess before I say, are we going to finish number four on the list, I should let people know that we are reading from a list that Bruce gave us and we posted at wethepeopleradio.us. So you, too, can follow along in your spare time once we find Bruce somewhere deep in Chicago.
Hello, Bruce.
Went to go get a pizza.
Me, myself, and I.
Or he's running from some criminal.
All of us are here.
That's probably more likely. He's out investigating the Smollett case.
I told Aaron before this program, because I joke when we're talking about other things, but this is so serious a matter of national security import. It's not being discussed and properly addressed. That I'm trying to keep our tone in a way that people who are listening know that we need to take a huge look at what has happened and how to correct it. It has to be done in Congress. It has to be done at the executive branch. It has to be done through the White House.
Because that's going to be spun.
Barr has to, you know, help sort this thing out.
But see, don't you think, Bruce, though, that as they start to look into all of this, who did what with whom during this whole deal, that's all going to be sold to the public as just retribution. These guys are just picking.
Don't even go there, because this has to be done in a way where it's keep off that part of the conversation. That's what I'm saying.
No, but what I'm saying is, the opposition is going to tell
people
that.
It's pretty obvious. That's what I'm saying. Let's not go there, no.
Well, I'm going to go there. It's too late. I already went. You were somewhere. I don't know where you were. There was a moment of silence, and I filled it in.
I think what Bruce is saying is one of the...
Is he just want to go there?
One of the lines in here is the insidious collaborative undermining efforts of a host of senior-level administration officials.
They haven't even been talked about in the public yet.
Right. And the resources... And personnel and resources that were wasted defending all this stuff when it could have been used...
Yes, to do productive things.
To do our productive national security. So there, we're back on track now, Bruce.
Okay, thank you so very much.
Hey, not a problem. All right.
We do what we can.
But one of the things that I think is of great magnitude is take a look at... If we move down to the Pandora's box you in problem, that's indicative of what I've been saying and how we have to address that. And as you look at what we're talking about, this happens on the watch of both the Dem and the GOP officials. So it's not just, you know, Democrats or just Republicans doing their official duty to support the president. It was everybody in office at that time when he got elected.
Right.
Since such time, 500 positions have not been filled. These are Class C positions. To go into those areas that we've been talking about in the executive branch to help support his policy and programs.
Now, how unusual is that for a new president?
Done within a year and a half.
Yeah, here we're 2 years in, and he still hasn't been able to fill those positions because of this.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He's been strapped. It's a national security problem. He can execute his problems and execute his programs and policies as required by Congress. You know, that's what his duties are as commander in chief. But it's not only that. He has 3,000 vacancies that go along with that that haven't been filled. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, imagine what we could be getting done and what could have been done had that all been taken care of by now.
Right. So they needed to confirm 500 appointees, and they didn't fill 3,000 vacancies. These are people we know personally who can come in and help out. And to help support the president.
Right.
That's a huge number of people. We're talking more. We're talking about there about 4,000, but, you know, we gave a conservative not filling 3,000 vacancies we knew of. Because people are coming in and out of government all the time.
Sure.
You just think of the State Department, there's 68,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about Class C. So those are the administrators of each of the departments and agencies. Those are 500.
Right.
That's a huge amount of people that need to come in and help support the president's programs. Then you have the other 3,000 that are going to be in there helping out too. What have they done to the president of the United States?
Well, they've totally hamstrung him. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This was the part I was talking about earlier that you have to look at in conjunction with how the president has been damaged. And even though he has been damaged in this capacity, his performance outweighs the amount of corruption that went about to keep him from fulfilling his duties.
And do you think they really expected that? I don't. I think they
expect the economy to pick up. They didn't expect anything. They expected him to fail from the get-go.
Exactly. Or
and
quit.
They were trying to keep it that way, and it just turned itself on its head, upward and backward, and he's still functioning at a low level of performance. So that's what I'm saying. He's doing an outstanding job. That's what I'm trying to say. What could he have done?
Exactly. Yeah, think of what could have been accomplished had he not had to constantly fight off the rabid dogs. I mean, if he could have just done his job.
That's like what I'm saying. You're doing the previous lap around the stadium. Everybody's still shooting at you, and you're in an armored car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's talking about. He doesn't have the other people in the stadium to stop the shooting. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They need to be up there, and then if they're shooting at the armored car, then they get shot up. They're going to quit shooting because they're going to have to run for their, you know, run for their hides.
Well, hopefully that's where we're.
What upsets me the most, what I'm talking to you about,
This
entire insidious operation that's going on currently, and not getting the proper appointees. We were supposed to go in the first year. We were told that.
You and Chuck and the guys from Security
Solutions.
Well,
500 of us.
Sure.
And I'm not talking about 500 people who are going to be used in the approval process. Everyone that gets approved brings in 20, 30 people. See what I mean?
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
And then a lot of stuff could be getting done. So before we run out of time this hour, not that we don't have another hour, that we can go into it, but I wanted to see.
Well, we can talk about what you want. I think we can do another two-hour program with Chuck and talk about a little particulars, a little bit more.
Yeah.
But, you know.
What about the Russian, the British spy guy? Do we have time to do that in a minute?
Talk about
not really.
That forever, because they're kind of like our brothers and sisters. At the same time, they've been working against us. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's crazy against. They're our allies, and then if they use 5E, or 14 eyes in conjunction with that, and Christopher Steele and Orbis, I don't want to talk about it right now, but okay.
All right.
Everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. And it's not only the intelligence community, it goes way back for 20, 30 years. So there's a lot of different people from the GOP and the Democratic Party, and, you know, all these contacts are pretty well embedded and endowed with black money. So.
Yeah. I mean, just the idea
that's what I'm saying. That has to be disclosed, and people who ran that operation, Crossfire, Hurricane, from that perspective, have to be shut down or fired. I'm sure they're going to be shut down, but, you know, as I'm talking about it, I got angry about it when we talked about 2 months ago, and they knew, and they all know who we are, you know, and sometimes they consider it a game, but in terms of the presidency of the United States national security, it's not a game now.
No.
No, no, no. There's too much
you
at stake.
Him and throw him out of office.
Yeah.
And it's not a game.
So we have a whole lot to cover in the second hour. Our guest is Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technology. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.